Ephesians chapter 4. This is our fourth year for Joy and I at the Bible Institute. The Bible Institute's been going about 20 years, and this is our fourth year. Came up there in 2010, and it's been quite an amazing opportunity and amazing experience there at the school. And we're there to teach people, young people and sometimes adults. We have a man that's a middle-aged man now from South Sudan that's there this year for 1 year exposure to the school. And so it's all the whole gamut of people that over the years have come to the school. And we're there basically to teach them about Jesus. And we sang songs today. The ladies sang that nice song about resting in Him alone. Song on the screen about learning from Jesus, learning about Jesus. That's what the Bible Institute is all about. We're not a 4-year college, and we're not a seminary. And I'm not saying that those all have a place. But the point is that for the Bible Institute, we have the precious opportunity to focus on Jesus. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today from Ephesians chapter 4. For the sake of time, I won't read that text again, but that is our text that the young man read to us earlier from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 24. If you turn there, we'll be looking at that. And especially the key verses are verse 20 and 21. Somebody just read that. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." Those two verses. They are preceded by three verses. They are followed by three verses. But they are the key in this, for this message, they are the key in this overall text. We want to look at that. So let's have a word of prayer first, and then we will do that. Father in heaven, we thank you for this place, for the faithfulness over many years to the Word of God and to Jesus, and the effort to proclaim that Word in this place, and the lives that have been touched, and the families that have been touched, the generations that have been touched through your ministry. This is what you've told us to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and Lord, to preach your Word, the whole counsel of God. And you do that, you take that, and you work in our life. And you change us. You give us eternal life. You enable us to have hope in this world that nothing else could give us. So we pray we might be encouraged by what is before us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The distinction between the Christian and others is this. If we look at verse 20, but ye are different. But ye have not so learned Christ. Christians are people that know Jesus, that one way or another are beginning to learn Christ. The title, little title for this message this morning is Learning Christ in 2014. I'm talking about learning Christ today. Are you learning Christ? That's the question. That's the challenge. And I want you to think about that. The opportunity for every one of us, whether we're young Christians or whether we're senior citizens, whether we have known Christ for one day, 1 year, or whether we have walked with Christ for generations. We are challenged to learn Christ. This means, the means of this distinction is our discipleship, our walk with God. We have learned Christ and learned Him in a different way from that which satisfies many who profess to know Him. The world is full of churches, all kinds of churches. And people say, "Well, I know Jesus. I know about Jesus. I've been to classes, or I've been confirmed, or I've been this or that. I know about Jesus. I know precisely what I'm talking about because I was there. I was saved when I was 26, when I was in the military. when I was 26. So I have a few years under my belt at where I thought that I knew about Jesus, because I'd been to church a few times. But as a believer, we have not so learned Christ as to be able to profess his name and yet practice, as this verse says, lasciviousness or sensuality. It's such a problem today because of all the technology, and anything we want we can see on the screen, or we can experience, or if we got some money and get around to all these places. And the tragedy is we can say, I'm a Christian and I can practice like that, live like that. Something's wrong. As a believer, we are converted into learners under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, and how we learn is a test question. How we learn. Some have learned Christ and yet are not saved. I was one of those. Maybe you know some people like that. Go to church. But, yes, I know about Jesus, but don't tell me all that gospel stuff. I don't want to hear that. Never been around anybody like that. And we have learned Christ and yet are not saved. And others have not so learned him, but are truly his disciples. Learning Christ in 2014. That's what I want to talk about. Our lesson. This learning of Christ is much more than learning doctrines and precepts and ceremony. Oh, careful. I teach theology. I teach other things in the Bible Institute. People need to learn these things. But it's more than that. It's much more than knowing about Jesus Christ. A lot of people can do that. People can go and get a Ph.D. or a Ph.D. in religious studies and all that stuff and learn more about the person of Jesus than I do, or a lot of you do. But they're not saved. They know about it. It includes several forms of knowledge. To learn Christ is to know him as a personal Christ. Personal Christ. Just like we know each other as a person. It is to know his nature and to treat him accordingly. It is to know his offices. The offices. He's a prophet, a priest, and a king, and other offices. And how to use them in our relationship to him. It is to know his finished work for God and for us. Because when he said it is finished, the very most important, as important as that is to us, the most important application of that was to God. Because God is a holy God. And Jesus at one point before he died said, it is finished. It is to know his influence over men and to test it. If we believe that a person in Christ Jesus is a new creation, are we willing to do whatever it takes to get that gospel to somebody that needs it? Whether they're very close to us or whether they're some person overseas in a foreign language or in the Indian tribes or wherever. To know his influence over men and to test it. It is to know by learning Christ the way to live like him. Because he's our model. Now, how have we not learned Christ? How have we not learned him if we are a true disciple of Jesus, a believer in Jesus? We have not learned him so as to remain as we were before, unchanged and yet at peace. We have not learned him so as to excuse sin because of his atonement. Well, he's paid for all my sins. The Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world. He's paid for everything. So therefore, I can live like I want. We didn't learn him that way. So as to feel a freedom to sin because of pardon. We didn't learn him so as to even to commit sin in Christ's name. We didn't learn him so as to reckon that we cannot conquer sin and so sit down under the dominion of some personal temptation. God knows, I can't help myself. That's just me. We didn't learn Jesus that way. We didn't learn Jesus so as to profess reverence for his name and character and then think little of the truth which he reveals. You see, learning Christ is very specific. How have we learned him? How have we learned him? We know the truth, and we know it in its best light. We have learned him in such a way as being directly taught by his own self and by his own spirit. What's the Holy Spirit been teaching you this year? As distinctly embodied in his life and his character. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we could, as we learn him, we learn these things. We have learned him as it truth as it relates to him and honors him. Consequently, we have learned him as it is in him. Truth is in Jesus indeed, and of a truth, for in him everything is real. We talk so much today about reality, about reality TV and reality this and reality. The ultimate reality is Jesus, not reality TV, not strange experiences and all of that that we might conjure up. It is to know Jesus. And consequently, we have learned this truth as it works a total change in us and makes us like him in whom the truth is embodied, that I am the truth. So then, that we see that we not only learn of Jesus, but we learn Jesus. That's the point I want you to see today. It's not enough. It's important, but it's not enough to hear him or to be taught of him. We want to know himself. We want to know him. Paul said that I may know him. Power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Knowing him, we know the truth because it's in him. And therefore, the importance of learning Christ in 2014. Now, how is it with you? Have you learned Christ? Have you learned Christ? One of the things we're trying to get them students. Some of them are good at it, and some of them are blockheads, and you got to really, you know. But we're trying to teach them, learn them, help them to learn Christ. How have you learned him? We talked about some ways we are to learn him and some ways we are not to learn him. Do you want to learn Christ in 2014? So, before we get back to the text, I want you to keep your hand on this text because we're going to get back to it. But I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. These are very familiar verses. You know them, but just look at them in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27. Jesus speaking. He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. talks about coming, taking, and learning. Come unto me. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. And I think it's more than about learning about Jesus. It's learning from Jesus. And learning Jesus, who he is. This personal being. The greatest human being that ever lived. And I know he's God. And that's important. But he's also a human being. So therefore we can have a personal relationship with him. Now, the invitation of Christ to come unto me implies his fitness, his ability to bless all people in all ages. That includes 2014. 27, verse 27 there, it says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, Jesus said. All things are delivered unto me. Therefore, verse 28, come unto me. And when we do, we are invited to rest. I don't know what was coming up this morning. I love these intersections where things apply. The lady stood right over there this morning and sang about resting in him alone. Absolutely the truth. That when we come to Jesus, we can rest in him alone. We're invited to serve the yoke. The yoke is a picture. That's a thing you put over the horse's neck or the ox's neck, to donkey's neck if you got mules or whatever, so they can pull things, pull loads and all. We're invited to serve. Take my yoke, the yoke of his Father's will. He's the greatest exponent of that, or the greatest demonstration of that at all. He took the yoke upon him. Served us in a way that no other human being ever could serve us, in that he gave his life to take away our sin. A life, take my yoke, a life of submission to the work and the will of God. Co-workers together with him. You see, the yoke is him and me in the same yoke. Him and you in the same yoke. Then we are invited to learn. Because the learning comes in the context of the service. When we are serving God, we're a disciple of Jesus, we're serving him. We are invited to serve. Invited to learn. Learn of me. Learn from me. Learn Christ. To learn Christ, we must get close to him. We're going to really have a relationship with people, whether it's a husband and wife, or parents and children, or whether it's just two friends. We got to get close to the other person. We must be somehow together, doing something with him or her, whoever the situation is. And we learn best while we're in the yoke. And the yoke of service comes before spiritual wisdom. How can we get spiritual wisdom if we never serve God, if we never are in the yoke with God? And the reason why many Christians don't make progress in the grace of God is that they are ashamed of the yoke of God, of Jesus. I can't do that because people will think I'm weird. People will think I'm different. And they will tell us, what's the matter with you? We are ashamed of the yoke of Jesus. And not keeping company with him, we cannot be taught by him. We cannot, or to use the words for today, we cannot learn him. We enter the school of Christ when we enter the yoke of Christ. That's a simple thing, easy to say, harder to do. One of the big stories at the Bible Institute is trying to communicate that to students. There are many branches of learning here. When we learn Christ, we learn to be patient in suffering, tribulations of various kinds, whether it's physical suffering or suffering because we don't have money, we don't have this, we don't have that. We learn to be patient in suffering. We learn to walk humbly. Jesus was humble, and he was God. We can be humble too. We learn to trust implicitly. We learn to love intensely. When I was talking to the young people at the gym last night, we were talking about the encounter of Jesus and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler rushed up to Jesus and asked him questions and wanted to know some things. And it says in Mark that Jesus loved him, just like Jesus loves you. He loves us. He loves us intensely. But in that amazing little encounter, I don't want to take my time to go all through that again, but in that amazing little encounter, Jesus told him what to do, and it says he was sad. And he walked away from Jesus. And I talked to the young people last night. One of the most astounding things about that story is Jesus let him. He loved him, but he let him walk away. Because with that frame of mind, he wouldn't learn. Jesus said, sell all your things, give it to the poor, take up your cross, and follow me. That has to do with learning Christ. He couldn't learn until he got the baggage out of the way. We have to do that sometimes too. And then we learn to rejoice exceedingly. Can you imagine that Jesus rejoiced because he was going to change the whole complexion of eternity by what he was going to do on the cross? And he did it. We can't do it. He did it. But do we rejoice in that? Do we learn that exceeding rejoicing because we are in Christ Jesus when we are saved? We learn, in conclusion, to know him. And isn't that what Paul said? I just quoted the verse earlier. In Philippians chapter 3, when he was giving his testimony, he said that I may know him. Know him. Okay. Now, learning the Lord's mind. Here the objective is to seek the Lord's mind, watch this now, for the simple satisfaction of being in agreement with him. Are you concerned that my thinking and my life is in agreement with Jesus? We want to know the Lord's mind, how he thinks. Didn't Paul say at one point, he says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Do you rejoice in that? Do you rejoice that I can seek the Lord's mind so I can be in agreement with him? And whatever the issue is in my life at the time, or the struggles or the burdens or something, I can be in agreement with him. It's for the word to be studied so that I may have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The old prophet Amos in the Old Testament said, can two walk together except they be agreed? One of the problems with the struggles in our Christian life is we know what it says, but I'm going to do this. You see, we're not in agreement with the mind of God, with the mind of Jesus. We're not. And we need to be. To have communion with the Lord is to have a common mind with him. Have communion. One of the things, we have this little table down here, and we gather around the Lord's table to have, we have communion. We have communion together, but we also have communion with him. And what is the purpose of it? To remind us, we do it over and over. Some of you folks have been in church for all your life. You've done it lots of times. Why is it? To remind us so that we can rejoice that we're in agreement with him. If I'm walking with the Lord, I shall be in agreement with his mind, and I shall get some idea of his purposes, of his heart, of his priorities. There's many things we can do or not do. We can. There's lots of variations between younger people and older people, between men and women, all these things. But what are the priorities of Jesus? When we learn Christ, we learn his priorities. And I have to, if I have gotten a hold of these, I've got a hold of truth in the right way. It's not just an academic thing. I have one of the hats that I wear to school is academic dean. And academic deans have a lot to do with grades and with little academic problems. People want to graduate, but they don't have this and they don't have that, or they flunk this course. You gotta get these things together before you can graduate. And that kind of makes you a bad guy sometimes. And you know how that is. But the point is, when we learn Jesus, we don't just learn in an academic way. We learn in a personal way. And we get to the point where I've got to be in step with him. I've got to be according to his priorities, not mine. According to his knowledge, not mine. I have to get a hold of truth in the right way. It's not merely knowledge of the truth, but the place and the interest which that truth holds in the mind of Jesus, who is the object of my heart, becomes the same for me. And I don't care what it costs to walk with Jesus. I don't care what I have to give up to live like him, to walk with him. I don't care, because the greatest priority in my life is what is the greatest priority in his life. See? So, now, where's that recorded? Where's that recorded? So, while to read and get knowledge, my wife, she really gets concerned, because I think she thinks one day I'm going to be buried in books and I'm going to get crushed by all these books somehow. She, because I love books and I love to read and I love all of that. But unless you are in communion with Jesus, unless you are learning Christ, you will not grow in the knowledge of whom you admire as it's recorded in the Word. And where is that recorded? Think about this in 2 Peter 3:18. I just finished that. This year in the spring semester, I teach 1st and 2nd Peter and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's a class. And one of my favorite verses in the whole scripture is 2 Peter 3:18. The last verse that Peter wrote. And he laid down his pen. And when we think about the life of Peter and the crazy mixed up guy he was at times, he wrote these words: "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Peter, a master illustration of learning Christ. Peter, he personally heard Jesus say those words in Matthew 11 that we have read. Matthew 11. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Peter was there when Jesus said that. Peter, he lived 3 years, 3.5 years of amazing years with Jesus. But he had not learned Christ yet, because he denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. But after his resurrection, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Jesus, you know that I love you. You know it, Jesus. I love you." He said, when you see the reality," he didn't say all these words, but the idea was, "when you see the reality of what you've said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And Peter, I believe then, began to learn Christ. What a change, a difference it made it to him. So now, I want you to go back to, we're going to close here in a minute, in Ephesians chapter 4, back to the text. First the text verses, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him, that you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." 27 words, I count them in my Bible, 27 words. What about you? Have you learned Christ? so far. And this learning goes on as long as you're in this world, or until he comes, whichever comes first. And I think somehow we're going to continue in eternity learning Christ. But the point is that, have you learned Christ so far? Are you saved? Are you saved today? I don't mean just I know about Jesus. I mean, are you saved and do you know it? Are you in Christendom? Everybody that says they know something about Jesus and all the denominations and all the different patterns and varieties. Are you in that, or are you in Christ Jesus? Are you saved? You must be if you're to truly learn him and be taught by him. You've got to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're not saved by learning about Christ. You're saved by believing in what he did. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. You got to believe that. And he saves you. He makes you a new person in Christ Jesus. But you must be saved first if you are to truly learn him and be taught by him. But do you want to? The further question, do you want to learn him, to truly know him in 2014? There is a way you can know from this text. I say that all the time to my students and when I preach and all. I want to know how to know if I know what the Bible is talking about. And I think this text is an illustration of that. How do you know? Our text, I said at the beginning, it's seven verses. And our text is verse 20 and 21. And it's preceded by three verses. And it's followed by three verses. And each of these verses describe one kind of life. Describe one kind of life. The question is, which kind of life fits me today? Notice, verse 17 to 19. Paul says, notice, again, just a little aside, Ephesians, like a lot of Paul's writings, the first three chapters have to do with our position in Christ. The last three chapters has to do with our practice in Christ. And this is in the practical side of things. But notice what verse 17 to 19 says. This I say then, and testify to the Lord, in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness or sensuality, to work all uncleanness with greediness. One kind of life. Does this describe you? I hope not, but could be. I don't know everybody here. Does this describe you? Now, let's jump over the text, the two text verses for a minute, and look at verse 22 to 24. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, or conversation, King James says, the manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Does that describe your life? You see, you don't fit both of those. You fit one or the other. And that's how you know if you're beginning to learn Christ. Which set of verses describes your life today? They're two radically different lifestyles. And they're divided by or contrasted by two little words. But ye what? But ye have not so learned Christ. You see the importance. It's not a gospel passage. You're saved by believing. You're not saved by learning about Christ. You're saved by believing. But God doesn't want to stop there. He wants to work in your life. He gives us the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word of God to illuminate our minds so we can read the Word of God and we can learn these things. Which life will it be for you today? Which life? Which life? And I commend to you the idea that I need to learn Christ. Learn Him. That I may know Him, Paul said. And of course, we learn Him from Genesis to Revelation. He's the Creator. He's the coming King. He's the God of eternity. Jesus, He's the God-man. And therefore, we can have a relationship with Him forever. But in this interlude in this world that He gives us as a believer, we can learn Him if we want to. And folks, you've got to have a want to. You've got to have a want to, a motivation. And to know Him is the greatest motivation you could ever have. Sometimes we need rest, like the ladies talked about, resting in Him alone, sung about. Sometimes we need other things. But whatever we need, at whatever stage of life we are, at whatever calamities may or may not have been come down on us, whatever, we need to know Jesus. And then we can have rock-solid hope that I'll be able to get through this. Or something might happen today that never happened before to me. I can get through that because I've learned Jesus. And I commend that to you today. We're going to have a word of prayer, and the pastor's going to come and lead us in a song.